This is Christmas on the Farm. Hello, everyone. I'm Max Armstrong, along with my longtime broadcast colleague, Orion Samuelson. Merry Christmas, sir.
And a Merry Christmas to you and the family. And we look forward every year. This has become an annual tradition to reviving memories and sharing experiences of Christmas on the farm.
It sure was a simpler time, wasn't it? I mean, we didn't have all of the complexities of life, the high technology tools and toys that we have today, but it was a meaningful time, and it really affected us throughout the rest of our lives, I think.
Well, it creates memories that you never forget, and I think it gives you a solid footing for what Christmas is really all about and for sharing with other people.
Not losing sight of the reason for the season, if you will. Well, we'll share some memories coming up here in just a few minutes of how it was for us growing up on the farm on this year's edition of Christmas on the Farm. I reminisce a lot during the holidays. I guess I'm one who, it can be said I live in the past maybe a little too much.
Well, I think we all do, and as we mature, which is my term for getting older, I think we tend to live in the past just a little bit more because you want to maintain the memories of what Christmas was like as a child, and particularly in your case and in my case, we grew up on farms and worshipped at country churches, and so, yeah, it is a time to remember.
That family has been kind of a mainstay for us as we've gone through life, too, when you think about it. It's a way that we've been able to stay grounded, I think, a little bit, thinking about our upbringing on the farm. And it was pretty simple. I mean, there wasn't a lot of glitz. We weren't very wealthy, but, hey, we didn't know it.
Well, since I got to start quite a few years before you did, it was probably even more simple in the Kickapoo Valley of Wisconsin, because until I was 14, we did not have electricity, so we didn't have any lighted decorations at all. One year, we put real candles on the Christmas tree and lit them, and it didn't take long for us to decide this is not a good idea. A dry pine tree that we cut in the woods about a half a mile from the house, brought in the house, and putting lighted candles on that Christmas tree, not a good idea. But I remember probably the best Christmas gift I got as far as a toy is concerned was an electric train that operated on batteries, and it actually sent sparks out the smokestack of the train on a track that probably was about 3 feet in diameter. But thanks to the battery power, it blew whistles and it had flashing lights, and that was a very exciting toy.
Coming up, I'll remember that unforgettable pedal tractor Santa brought me. And Orion recalls the gift his dad would give the cows on Christmas Eve. As Christmas on the Farm continues after this break. Isn't it interesting how we remember so well some of those toys that we received? Now, as our daughters were growing up, I think sometimes they were more enthralled with the packaging and the boxes and the wrapping paper than what was actually in the box. But I can remember so vividly the farm set that I received one Christmas. I mean, it had all of the plastic animals and had the tractors and the elevators, and Dad mounted it on a piece of plywood, and he had painted the plywood so it looked like it was a grassy green field. I think somewhere in a box have some of the toys from that farm set. And then there was the pedal tractor. I have photos of me, believe it or not, on a John Deere pedal tractor.
Wait a minute, that's the wrong color, Max.
It sure was. At our place, everything was red. But I don't know, maybe Dad got a good deal from the local John Deere dealer on a John Deere pedal tractor. And you know, I can still feel the texture of that glossy paint on that pedal tractor, and I can still smell the rubber of the tires. And I rode that through the house, all around the house, making sure, of course, that it didn't bounce into the refrigerator, because there would have been trouble over that. But that pedal tractor, whenever I see one of those old John Deere pedal tractors from the 50s, it takes me back to that particular Christmas. And then there were the less than PC toys, but we didn't know it back then. I mean, I remember getting the Mattel six shooter with the greeny stick'em caps, so you could, you know, you could have the shootout with your neighbor kid right there out there in the field.
And there was the gun that had the suction cup on the end of the stick that you fired out and tried to get it to stick to the wall. Yes, right.
Hopefully not shooting it at your sister or brother.
Well, that was tempting at times because I did have a sister, and yes, I picked on her. I was 5 years older than her, and so I picked on her a little bit. Our family always celebrated Christmas Eve. That was when my grandmother and my two bachelor uncles would come to the house, and of course, we were all Norwegian. My grandmother came from Norway, and so we would have lutefisk, and we would have lefse and the Scandinavian dishes that are served at holiday time. But since we were on a dairy farm, you know, we normally ate supper before we went out and milked cows. But on Christmas Eve, we would do the cow milking early. And Dad always made sure that there was extra hay and extra silage. And then he would take a mixture of flavors or whatever and sprinkle on the silage as an extra treat for the cows. And so you'd hope to get done milking the 30 cows that we milked by hand by 7 o'clock, so then you could go in the house and you could have your dinner. And then Santa Claus came sometime after we were asleep on Christmas Eve, so we did have, after milking the cows on Christmas morning, we would then have the present opening.
I bet your Christmas tree was a real tree too, wasn't it?
It was, because we did have woods on the farm. We had 200 acres and only 90 of it was tillable, so we had a lot of woods, and we had a lot of the long needle pine trees, and they were pretty tall. So Dad and I would take a sled and go out to the forest area, and he would climb the tree. And he would cut the top off the tree. And then that's what we'd take back in the house. But, oh, artificial tree?
No way. No, we didn't have one of those. You know, those aluminum trees? Remember those?
Oh, I do.
In the 60s?
With the colored lights.
With the color wheel, yes. No, we never went for one of those. It was always a real tree. My cousin Bob grew Christmas trees for a few years there, and we would go out and cut from his patch. Just the other day, I went out in pursuit of our Christmas tree for our home, and I got there before the guys were selling the trees that morning. This lot out in the countryside, it was a Saturday morning, and I was there probably about a half hour early, and there was nobody there. I was surprised. In the days just ahead of Christmas, right, these fellas hadn't shown up yet. So here were all of the trees, and it's a major Christmas tree producing area there.
Could you
not
help
far
yourself?
Away. As a matter of fact, on their little shack, there was a sign and a slit in the door.
Really?
And it said, just take the tag off the tree, write down on the tag the price and the amount that you've put in the slot, and we thank you very much. Well, I was so taken aback by the fact that these guys were operating on an honor system, as I know some folks do at pumpkin patches.
True,
and
yes.
Apple orchards,
yeah.
And
but Christmas,
in this case,
trees?
Christmas trees. Guess what? I actually put a little extra in the box. I was so thankful that these guys had faith in me as right. a consumer and my neighbors that I gave them a little extra, doggone it.
There's more coming up on Christmas on the Farm right after this break. Welcome back to this year's edition of Christmas on the Farm with Orion Samuelson. I'm Max Armstrong. Orion and I have often compared notes about those rural, small-town churches where we were brought up, and how Christmas was so special there. We both recall how we had to remember our pieces for the Christmas program, and the work on the memorization started, of course, well in advance of Christmas. And music certainly was the backbone of any good Christmas program. In fact, we'll yield to the choir right now to let them share with you, O Come All You Faithful.
Oh, come on, be faithful. Joyful.
That was the choir from the United Methodist Church at Batavia, Illinois. Many years ago, Orion and I started the tradition on our television show, This Week in Agribusiness, of sharing some of the Christmas programs from smaller churches. Our crew would go to the church and set up right there in the sanctuary. And the congregation welcomes our bunch of technicians who, by the way, are very much touched by what they hear. It's fun to watch their faces during performances such as this one. Listening to Christmas on the Farm. We'll be back after this.
We thank you for joining us and sharing some of our memories, and I'm sure that you over the years have created many memories as well. We enjoy the opportunity to be with you throughout the year, and especially at this time of the holiday Christmas season.
Younger people bring a lot of joy into the home at Christmas time too, and I guess one thing we shouldn't lose sight of is that there are some great memories being made for the future all around us. As we get caught up in all of the excitement and the hubbub of the season, let us not forget that there are young people who will, many years from now, look back on this time and say, hey, I remember that Christmas.
And maybe some of them will be broadcasters, and they'll continue the tradition of Christmas on the Farm.
Merry Christmas to you and your family, Orion.
And Merry Christmas to you and the family.
You've been listening to Christmas on the Farm, made possible by Tribune Radio Networks, Farm Progress Radio, and Omax Communications. We wish you a very Merry Christmas.